Whenever a major disaster hits, whether it be here at home or halfway around the world, people start talking about preparing for the worst. And you hear it in the news and you see it in the paper, the list of things that we should have so that we are ready when the worst hits. We should have food and water for at least a week, preferably for a month. A camp stove with plenty of propane for it, blankets, maybe even a tent, a first aid kit, and the list goes on and on and on. We need to have a flashlight, matches, all of that, batteries, and more and more. And I look at my house and I wonder, where am I going to keep all of this? And what is going to happen if I am in the car away from home and I can't get home to my supplies? Do I need to keep it in the car also? My trunk isn't quite that large. Yet we continue to hear from the world, prepare for the worst. But what about preparing for the best? Have you ever heard the old adage, prepare for the best because you never know when? Anyone? Yeah, we don't hear that. In Matthew, Jesus is talking about being prepared. And he's talking about being prepared not for the worst, but being prepared for the best. He talks about a wedding. And in Jesus' time, weddings begin in the evening. And the bridegroom would come to the bride's house, pick her up, and escort her to their new home. And along the way, there were torchbearers that lit their path from one place to the other. Friends would line up and be privileged to be a part of that procession. And it was a grand and festive display. To be a torchbearer for us would be, because it was women who were the torchbearers who lit the way, for us it would be being asked to be the bridesmaid at a wedding for us today. It is an honor and a privilege. And the women would agree to be the torchbearers, and in that agreement would say, I will be ready for that day. But this really isn't a story about weddings. Jesus tells this story to encourage us to be prepared for the best. It is told to encourage us to be ready for Jesus' second coming. Not a second coming that is going to look like Amos predicted, but to be prepared for a different second coming, to be prepared in a way that follows Jesus, not in a way in which the folks in Amos's time was preparing for the second coming. But we also need to prepare for life today, here and now. In Jesus' story, the bridesmaid prepared for the coming of the bridegroom by making sure that they had enough oil for their lamps. So I began to wonder, what is our oil today that we need to keep our lamps burning? What do we need to be ready for Jesus, and how do we prepare? Luther says we need faith, and that's true. We need faith. Others would say you need to have a personal relationship with Christ. And we do. But to truly answer the question, we need to look ahead in our gospel reading. We need to look ahead to the parable of the talents, where the faithful servants use their master's resource well. Being prepared then means being faithful stewards of our blessings in which God has entrusted us. Matthew 25 is a significant chapter, and it ends with Jesus telling us of the rewards of a person who feeds the hungry, gives drink to the thirsty, welcomes the stranger, clothes the naked, takes care of the sick, and visits the prisoner. Being prepared means being generous to others. Preparing for the best is being faithful to the life which Christ has called us to, knowing that God is good all the time. Some will protest that Jesus can save even the person who is in the poorestly prepared, one who repents on his or her deathbed. And that is true. And some will protest that it isn't what we do that counts, but what Jesus did for us on a cross. And that is true also. But it is also true that Jesus wants us to prepare for the best. And that means working faithfully for the Lord and not for ourselves. It means being good stewards of the blessings that God has given us. It means being generous to those in need. It means allowing Christ to remake us, to remold us, and to refashion us so we once again look like people created in God's image. Bad news is all around us. You don't even need to go past the front page of the Herald to be drenched in it. The good news is that God has done something about all the problems and all the needs of this world. God has called and equipped each and every one of us a people to deal with the problems, the needs, and all the bad stuff that happens around us. Through our baptism, God has called us to be His people. We are the good news to a world that is in desperate pain and agony, looking for the love that we know, looking for the love that God offers to each. We are called to commit ourselves, our time, our gifts, our money, to keeping our lamps burning with the love of God, reaching out to the world with love on our lips, hope in our hearts, and help in our hands. That is what your gifts to this place does. It is preparing for the best, for a life that will become a blessing, and for a life that will be blessed. Amen.